Welcome to episode 162 of the Better of Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Runs PB coach, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and fellow coach, Zach Newman. How's things, mate?
Things going well, Chris-o. Very excited to be on to have a chat to you, all things running. Mm-hmm. Been a lot going on. Yeah, I was at Albert Park on Sunday, so looking forward to unpacking a bit of that. And Berlin Marathon, mate, it's been running. It's been on the front pages of some of the online publications. So it's been pretty exciting.
Mate, it's not often running makes a front page of many things, unless it's for something bad. But this time it's for something good. Well, something good at the moment. And we're gonna unpack that a bit more in some world record chat. But Zaka, listeners of the show have been absolutely smashing the DMs recently requesting one thing. But it's not Uncle Chen. I know regular listeners will be disappointed about that, but we haven't been able to secure Uncle Chen yet. But Zaka, we've got a special big dog co-host joining us tonight in the run into Melbourne by popular request. Who have we got?
Mate, it's a bit threatening for us because we've had a couple of co-hosts come on, and I think I doubt we'll get to 200, just me and you. I think we're going to get something soon.
Mate, it's 162. If I see it to 165, I'll be absolutely shocked.
But we have got a big guest, a big dog. It is none other than Liam Beecroft. Welcome to the show, Liam.
Thank you, boys. Pleasure to be here. Thank you for organizing my appearance fee this time as well. Doubling it from $0 last time to $0 again. So much appreciated. Thanks for digging deep into your pockets for that.
Did that check bounce last time?
Yeah, it did actually. So questionable funds in the Run to PB account there.
That's awkward.
He's going inside running. We're just a poor little cousin over here. Great to have you on, mate. And there's been a bit going on with your running. Obviously, last time we had you on, episode 138, and you were...
Yeah, it would have been deep into marathon prep for Goldie, and then deep into another marathon prep now for Melbourne.
Yeah, geez, it's getting close. There's a lot of people starting to really see the tan get busy. You know, the weather's getting nicer, and then I think a few people who have... maybe lost a bet at the pub 6 weeks ago, cramming hard with some last minute training. I know you didn't lose a bet. I know you've actually legitimately been training for this. And yeah, we're going to unpack a bit of your training. Going to get a bit of it was race week for you last week. So we're going to hear a bit about that. What else we got, Chris-o?
About Liam? Oh, mate, we're just going to unpack everything with Liam.
What's all about Liam?
Bit of this is your life.
Take us back to your preschool days, mate. No, Liam is going to be the focus tonight, but we're going to get a little bit of around the grounds. Also, a bit of races going on over the week. Going to recap my week. I might have had a little dabble at a race, so a bit more low-key than the run pre that took over Albert Park on the weekend. But
yeah, this one flew under the radar, mate.
It did because I didn't tell anyone. So there's absolutely no chance of it reaching the front page of anywhere. But we'll have a bit of a chat about that. I believe you've got a bit of a training update as well. You've been throwing some big levels of tin around at the gym over the last 7 days. So we're going to unpack that. Maybe a bit of bench
I know
press.
People can't see at the moment because they're not on video, but Zach's shoulders is looking jacked at the moment.
Absolutely.
He can barely fit in the frame. He can barely fit in the frame of the camera. So yeah, I'm intimidated. Chris with his big pipes is intimidated. So
That's why I'm wearing a long sleeve top tonight. Yeah, I'm just smart move.
Some people did request a live stream of this, and maybe we could have done it right out of this one.
I would have rocked the singlet if we were going to live stream it, but maybe not. But no, we'll have a bit of a gym update from Zach later on, and we did have some athletes go around, some of our very own athletes get around in Berlin as well. So looking forward to hearing about them, and also a new coach, Zaka, and maybe a merch update, possibly an apology to one of the members of our community as well.
Yeah, I'm on the edge about the apology but merch update. Merch is in production. They are pumping out the singlets, due to be shipped out Monday, I believe. So it's all rocking and rolling on that front, mate. But I reckon we need to kick off with a bit of a training update from Liam, because like we mentioned, he's deep in the marathon block for Melbourne. And I believe last week was race week, and you went around Albert Park, a bit of a familiar track for them. I know you've done some sessions around there, but got a chance to go around on a closed circuit, fast and furious. But maybe take us through your sessions. Well, how do you want to do this, mate? Did you have a bit of a?
I can give everyone a bit of a bit of a background. So I guess I was going into the Gold Coast, and then on that weekend of Gold Coast, I kept seeing Melbourne Marathon pop up on Instagram, being like 90% sold out, and I was like, oh, look, I don't want to commit to another marathon. It was like 16, 17 weeks apart. I don't want to commit to that without running Gold Coast first. So I was like, I won't sign up until I do Gold Coast. So ran Gold Coast on the Sunday. Then I woke up Monday morning, sore as hell, could barely move. Saw another Instagram post that was like 100 spots left in the marathon. And I was like, all right, I've got to do it. I'll sign up. If my body's broken, my body's broken. I can't do it, but I don't want to miss out on the opportunity. So I texted Josh and just said, hey, look, my legs are cooked, but anyway, let's move on to Melbourne in 17 weeks time. So yeah, that's been the main focus the past 17 weeks or so.
Smart purchase to buy them that out, because on the stock market, I reckon that price of the marathon entry to go into Melbourne, you get some good money for that now.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3 weeks. Who knows two and a half weeks at the moment. So who knows what will happen. But I guess in the Gold Coast build, my kind of structure was, so I run 6 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, a jogging, Tuesday, Thursday, a sessions, Saturday is the long run with Sunday off. And I guess in the build up to Gold Coast, I was doing two shorter sessions, bit of track, bit of short 20, 30 minute fartlek on the Thursday. And then the long runs were a combination of, 2 hours to 2:40 steady pace mixed in with some workouts in the long run. This build around, we've kept it quite similar, but we've upped the Thursday from that kind of 25, 30 minute fartlek to like a 60 minute session. So Tuesday's still track, but Thursday's a big, probably 20, 23 kilometer morning. And then still keeping the big long runs in on the Sunday with the session. So sometimes it's been kind of almost like a three session week, and with like a double on the Tuesday, actually. So Tuesday track and then Tuesday afternoon jog again. So the mileage probably last build is probably quite similar. I'd probably go around 110 or 105 to 115. It's kind of been both similar builds, but I guess this builds, there's a bit more intensity rather than those quote unquote junk K's or easy mileage leading into it. So body's been handling it okay. I haven't tipped over the edge, entered the gray zone or anything like that. So I thought, yeah, we'd try something slightly different after speaking with Josh, just to see how I went with it to try and take it, because Gold Coast was 2:40:36. So I thought, why not try something a little harder if my body can handle it, to try and get that under 2:40. So that's been the kind of key focus, because it felt like in Gold Coast what kind of let me down was my legs, like my body. I just, at 35K, it just felt like I had two corkers in my quads, and that I couldn't like cardiovascularly breathing. I was like, all right, there was some people around me, I was chatting okay, but the legs just could not go. And I guess that just, it's literally just years of consistency and conditioning that allow the body to do that.
How many marathons have you done?
Three now. Yeah. So very early days.
Yeah.
I'm completely understanding that it makes sense that my legs get absolutely cooked at that. mid-30s.
Just going back to Gold Coast, mate, do you reckon that the extra warmth that the Gold Coast sun packs might have been a bit of a factor in the day as well, in contributing to that fatigue?
No, didn't notice it at all. And as you pointed out before, I dress in my race kit's all black, so I absorb all the heat I possibly can. But I didn't notice the heat. It was a bit of a headwind coming down that 16K straight, so coming south, and then you kind of turn around at the top at 37 back into the headwind, but my legs were cooked then anyway, so it doesn't matter if I had a tailwind or a headwind. I was probably going to be in struggle town anyway.
Comparing the two preps, mate, with obviously there's been a bit of an increase in mileage. Most weeks between 100 to 120, like your bigger weeks have been just a fraction over 120, and plenty of hills. I'm assuming that the elevation gain on the GPS is accurate. So
Nah,
around
it
none.
is. No, I don't, absolutely not. Every time I run it, so Tuesdays I'm
Collingwood.
usually at the George Knott, the Collingwood track, and I clock 200, 300 meters of elevation for a track session.
Someone else is saying this that runs at Collingwood. It is that track on a hill.
I wish it would make it look more impressive, but dead flat, and it just makes my weekly mileage just weekly elevation look a bit more impressive, but I can tell you right now it's not.
Was about to pay you a big compliment, but I'd like to retract
Good.
that.
I'm an honest man, but
No,
yeah.
it's okay. I was going to say nearly climbing a vertical K in the week sometimes,
Jeez.
but
No.
no, we won't layer that in there. But I guess comparing the two builds, there's been some extra K's in this one, sort of strength wise in your body and energy wise. Are you feeling pretty similar despite doing a few more K's, or are you really noticing it in the body, or are you actually you're feeling better because you are getting fitter and stronger?
It's hard to say just based on the fact that I've done two marathon builds back to back. And again, wouldn't usually recommend that to anyone. I think it's just the accumulative, the addition of that accumulative effect of 12-week, 16-week block leading into Gold Coast, and then this 16 weeks. So it's 30 odd weeks of marathon specific training. So, I'm ready for Melbourne. It'd be nice if it was coming up pretty soon, just because I'm kind of keen to not have something so structured for a little while. So yeah, I think it's just that accumulative effect of two builds back to back.
Hey, mate. Chriso, actually, question for you. What are your thoughts on just scrolling through Liam's Strava? Some of the commute rides coming up here, and you a fan of this sort of behavior that's cropping into the Strava, or would you maybe not log for the morning rides?
No, I don't mind it. If given that it's over 10 kilometers, I'll accept that. Under 10 kilometers, no.
Thank you.
People that
It's
log,
11.17.
yeah, no,
Up there by a K.
it's over 10K, so I'll allow it. It's probably
So
it's
10K on a bike is probably equivalent to maybe a 2K run.
oh, see,
Ooh.
for me, 10K on a
Sweet
bike
time.
probably feels like an 8K run, because cycling and me aren't friends. So this is probably where, like, I'll cut a bit of slack. I might not always give it a kudos, but I respect it being
You
there.
got two kudos today for one of these
Oh, the
answers.
bike. Yeah, mind you, I am absolutely blown when I'm on the bike. It is a commuter bike. I've got the basket in the back with my backpack and change of clothes and laptop. So I'm working hard, but no, I definitely agree. I don't put it out there to get kudos, but it's more just for a diary check as well. So it tells me how much carbon CO2
Can see
I've
that,
saved
mate.
every
Yeah,
time I ride. So
a
got to
couple of
do
kilos
these
of
things.
carbon saved today.
Yep, it's like 2.5 each ride. Don't know what that
Sick.
actually equates to, but it's
Probably a
more
pair of
just a
shoes. Like, that's the carbon you're saving is going into the plates, they're going into the shoes for race day.
just another excuse to buy shoes. That's what I
Yeah.
need.
All right, we'll let you off there. We've got
I feel like an hour on the bike 2 days a week counts as a bit of a double as well.
Yeah, it's a gentle double. It's like a 20 minute shake.
a proper recovery. Yeah.
You get into Liam Mass here. I don't know about this.
Me just trying to justify to everyone.
On the weekend, mate. So just off the Gold Coast, you've also had a half that you went around in Sandy Point. Looks like a PB was achieved. And then this, well, yes, no?
Technicality. So I did the Sri Chin Mui in May, and that's like a AA certified measured course that's 21.1, so a half marathon. But on Strava, it only comes up as 21.09. So Strava didn't count that as a PB. So that when I ran Sandy Point this time around, it said that was my PB. So I actually ran about, I don't even know, 20 seconds slower.
Sandy Point. Okay. I mean, yeah. Sandy Point is a certified course.
Yeah, they both are. So it wasn't it wasn't a PB.
They're both. Don't go off Strava. You're not certified course. I'll be claiming the other PB. But either way, big runs. And this weekend, past weekend, run pre-10K, 33.50. And I've got to publicly apologize because I missed the bell emoji on the Run to PB post. And I'm blaming Josh Harris, your coach, who didn't actually give me a heads up that it was a PB. He just put it through. I just thought, 33.50, just a training run for Liam, but it turned out to be a PB.
Default PB, first 10K I've done, so it counts.
Definitely counts. I know Brady will be listening, and he knows all about debuts.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, comparing those two races, mate, in a marathon build, you don't actually get many chances to freshen up. I don't think you ever truly feel fresh until race day rolls around. But how's the body felt during the races? Like, did you sort of feel recovered enough to go out and really extract what you're capable out of, or you just happen to run sort of really well with tired legs?
The first thing is you said just the tired legs. I never felt like I was hitting the mark and streaming towards the finish line. I was always like, oh yeah, legs are ready for this to be over. But I kind of just put those races in, one, because a few mates were doing it, and two, it's a kind of a good way to, again, build a bit of race day fitness and max yourself out into the lead into a marathon without trying to have that mindset that, all right, I'm going to PB at every single race while I'm deep into a marathon prep. So
is it like some words of advice, perhaps maybe for people running their first 10K, much like yourself on the weekend, take note of your Strava. There's some, a bit of feedback based on how the run went, that it was 7Ks of pain followed by 3Ks of hanging on for dear life.
Yeah. Didn't really know what to expect. I like 5K, I've done a few 5K tracks over summer, and that's hard and you're hurting the whole time, but it's over in 16 odd minutes. So you can kind of put, and you feel like you're going fast because you're whizzing around a track. So the pain feels good. Whereas a 10K is just double that pain. You're going slower for an extended period of time. So I don't know. We didn't really taper too much going into it. Like, I still did a session on the Tuesday, and then I was coming off my highest mileage week of 122. So I've got to throw the excuses out now because it was absolutely perfect conditions on the Sunday. It was like 10, 12 degrees. The sun was out, no wind around Albert Park, which is absolutely rare.
Yeah. It
was I was battling a bit of a cold going into the race. So, my efforts are a bit reminiscent of, for all those basketball fans, Michael Jordan's flu game of 1997, crucial game 5 win where he scored 37 points. people have been saying there's been a bit of buzz around that my efforts were kind of like that, but nowhere near the result. So
should be a good episode on the Netflix doco.
Absolutely. But go on, sorry, Chris.
I would say it's the stuff of legend. the flu game. This could be the flu run. And I think particularly coming off the back of your Sandy Point half marathon, where I know there was a sense of disappointment that there was a bit of a reference made to Australia Post where you just sent it and turned up late. So you did miss your time that you did set yourself. But did we go, were we sort of considering the run pre as more of an express post delivery?
We would have liked it to be. it felt like it for the first 5Ks. I guess I wanted to try and ideally like an A-plus result would have been sub 33:30. So I wanted to try and flip around at about 3:20s. Which I was on pace for 5K and then just absolutely wasn't for the second lap.
Were you on a pack till that 5K? Because I saw the splits are like 3:18, 3:19, 3:18, 3:19, 22, and then a 26. So was there a bit of a break up in the pack or were you running solo?
I was doing it with two other mates and we were around a similar pace. So we all kind of took off, stuck together for the first few Ks. And then there was probably a pack just in front of us, maybe 10 meters. Probably since K2 or 3 that we were just following behind. And then one of my mates said, I was just latching onto him because he was a bit quicker than me and I knew that. So I was like, you do the work. And then he politely said, maybe you should do a little bit of work and let's catch up to the pack in front. So I was like, look, I'll do it. I don't want to do it. I don't think that I can do it. So we kind of got to the pack at 4 or 5, probably 5K. But then that's at that same time that everyone else is probably struggling with the same fatigue as everyone else. And as we finally got to the pack kind of separated. So then it was kind of, yeah, strung out for the kind of final 4K. And there was kind of bodies dropping off behind me, but then those track guys that actually have a decent speed and a decent kick down the last 2-3K were streaming past me. So I was just trying to hang on and not bleed too much time out of it. But yeah, 33:50. So wasn't too bad. But I guess one of the other considerations, and probably for people listening as well, if you are in a marathon block and you are doing specific marathon training and you go to do a half marathon thinking that, oh, I must be really fit because I'm doing all this mileage and all this work at marathon pace. But if you're not doing half marathon specific training or 10K specific training, you probably won't be able to aim for that high ceiling and reach it as well. So the goal of running 3:20s for the 10K, and I have not done hardly any work at 3:20 pace. Yeah. All my work's at like 3:40, 3:45 for the marathon build or touch above half marathon pace. Absolutely hardly anything apart from like 1 and 2 minute reps at 3:20s. So it's kind of, you get the result that you train for, and that's technically what I've been training for.
Eyes on the prize for a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, don't listen to me if it blows up and I don't hit the pace at Melbourne, then all my philosophical training advice is absolute rubbish. But
play this one back to you later.
I think it's interesting, mate. On final surge, I quite often use some pace calculators that give equivalent results, and I generally use it to form a bit of a gauge for some of my athletes' threshold. But it's kind of interesting to look at and compare some of the relative race efforts and see how those numbers stack up. They don't always, but here's some numbers for you, mate. So based off your 33:50 on the 10K that you smashed around Albert Park, where we're used to seeing fast times, they're normally in Formula One cars, but your 33:50 for the half marathon, and this is using the Tin Man calculator, so a reputable group. But on the Tin Man calculator, that 33:50 is a 1:14:34 half marathon, which you are pretty much around the mark at Sandy Point.
Yeah.
5K, 16:15, and you've run low 16s on the track.
Correct.
So these are all syncing up. Reason I mentioned, mate.
Don't put the pressure. What's the matter?
Yeah,
Don't, don't.
Yeah.
Josh is not going to be happy.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
Do you want it? It's sub 240. It's sub 240. It is sub 240. I don't want to put pressure on, but it's under 240 with comfort too.
Well, it's basically done then. If it's in the calculator,
I might as well not run it.
Yeah. Let's just turn the mics off, go to the pub and celebrate. You've broken 240. It's done.
Done.
Yeah. Like fun. it all syncs up. You know, there's some other equivalent stuff. I mean, that's all the fun stuff.
Give him 100. What's his 100 at the moment?
100. Yeah. So, mate, 100 meters, 12.36.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't want to be in the MCG with him. Come in a couple of weeks in that last 100.
And
my hamstrings would absolutely snap if I
over the and look 100 meters. I mean, most of us wouldn't even record 100 meters as a stride, but what about a 1k all out effort?
Oh, 245.
Oh, more spicy. Well, Tin Man's ripped you off just a fraction, they've got 249 for a 1k all out. So,
take that. Yeah. What about long jump, Chriso? What's his long jump?
sadly, Tin Man does have some restrictions, and unfortunately, I can tell you, unfortunately, that's about all. No long jump, triple jump, high jump, javelin, or shot put.
Okay.
Sadly, metrics that filter through, but the marathon is. I know the goal is sub 240, and that is on track based on what you've been running. So. Good times ahead. If you're interested, mate, you can actually access this yourself in your final surge. So,
Josh, I mean, it's a lot more generous than the Garmin predictor as well. So,
we've spoken at this at length. Garmin can get in the bin with its race predictors. I've literally run race times faster than it has, and it just refuses to update and says that I'm still shit. So.
I'm telling Kipchoge he's going to run 240 on the weekend. I had a quote from our esteemed coach Josh, who just said he has been training the house down this whole block. That was sent from the Zwift machine from Josho. So he is excited, and he
what,
is
what kind actually, words.
Yes,
it's our 2-year anniversary actually today. So sounds like he forgot, but I didn't. But
how are you celebrating?
If you're listening, Josh, happy 2 years. been a pleasure.
How are you celebrating, mate?
Well, talking to you, two other boys. So cheating on him a little bit, but that's what he gets for forgetting.
He will learn.
Just before we move on to a bit of Chriso's training update, Melbourne Marathon. I want to ask you about your kit. Have you got a sock and a shoe combo for us?
We've got a sock and a shoe combo. Still umming and ahhing about the kit. So I know this isn't like ABC, so I can mention brands. So
we encourage it, actually.
I've still got the version one of the Alpha Flies that I've only done one marathon and one. Half in, so gonna rock those again. They're like a purple pink version.
Nice.
And then you guys have mentioned this. I'm surprised Chriso hasn't mentioned this either. There's a sock brand.
Oh, now we're going here.
Yeah. We're going with the shoes.
Shoes. Shyu.
Yeah.
They release socks that match pretty much just race day shoes. So it's they've got standard black and white for training, but they match kind of super shoes out there in the market. So I've got a pair of black ones which match the purple and the pink to those.
Use the code Liam for a discount.
Yeah, do that. It won't get you anywhere.
we'll
be able to complete your order.
We'll jump in and say that I have been doing some research, Zaka, and pretty much anyone who is rolling a pair of super shoes with as I say, clean fits, fast splits, that shoe. If you've got that match on point, that is literally a straight up 10 out of 10 as far as kit combo goes. You just cannot go wrong. The fact that you've got a sock company making socks specifically for super shoes, once again, they don't have anything to do with the podcast, but absolutely sizzling gear.
They refuse to match my rainbow Mizunos that I have. Yeah. But, I can understand why. It'd be an absolute nightmare.
Did you wear the rainbow Mizunos in the tent?
I did. There's a sad story about those. Bloody love them. It's the amount of pop you get under. I'm like a heel striker, and I know they technically say they're not for heel strikers because they've absolutely got no rear heel. But my God, they are poppy. There's plenty of bounce. You feel fast. But for some reason, and this is the only shoes that ever happened with, they just cut into my heels.
Oh.
First time I wore them for a session, I was like halfway through and I could feel it burning. And I was like, well, I can't stop. Get to my car and there was just blood everywhere. Blood's already staying in the shoes. I had like scabs and cuts for like a week. So I can't train in them, but I did Sandy Point half and I did the 10K in them where I just wrap James Telford, actually. Shout out to my boy, James. I know he's probably listening and also watching. But I put sports tape, blister band-aids, four layers just to pad up the heels, and I narrowly escape without bleeding. Yeah, so,
okay.
That's sad, but
yeah,
I can only use them for short races. So, yeah. Okay. And I can't take them back because they're covered in my blood. So,
might be worth more.
So you might be able to sell them.
Maybe sell them to James. I'm sure he'll take
them. Yeah. good stuff, mate. Well, you're going to stick around for the rest of the show and no doubt chime in with some of your commentary as you do on Strava, which always keeps everyone entertained. But Chris, your training update.
Well, it's cool having Liam on because this pales into absolute insignificance compared to what he's been doing. He's out there doing big races on the weekend, the run pre, he's running with Olympians, he's running sort of 33:50. He's training for the marathon, mate. I went and hit up my local park run for a run.
What's wrong with that, mate?
With 100-odd other people, which was pretty cool. But first time I've done two sessions in a week for a while. So went and did some hill reps at the Botan. Did 8 of those, and 8 was plenty. In actual fact, 6 was probably plenty, and 8 was a bit of overkill because by the end of doing 8, my lungs, my legs, my eyelashes, the hair on the back of my neck, it was all fried. I was pretty spent. So, yeah, very happy with how it went. Felt strong, but, I think there's a big difference between running hills cross-country style where you're always running a bit within yourself and then running them aggressively where, these hill reps were probably 70 seconds at most.
Yeah.
And, it's certainly... Both myself and Anna have a newfound respect for the hills at the Botan after cooking ourselves on that. So it was a very, very gentle jog/walk on the way back. Got swooped by a couple of birds and I think they just took pity on us really in the end. So managed to escape that one alive. But the reason that we did the session on the Tuesday instead of the Thursday was so that we could go and have a run at Parkrun and mate, perfect conditions again, which was the theme of the weekend.
So when was your last park run?
That
you actually towed the line. I know you probably jumped in and paced a few.
Yeah. Probably I actually did one on my birthday. So early January. Went down there. It was about 25 degrees. And most people were hungover from New Year's Eve. So that was a pretty soft day. So that was the last time I had to go at Parkrun, but it was funny. Normally at Parkrun, I'm the one that's doing the pacing, and I guess I'm just used to running a set line. And one of the young kids from Shep Runners Club, so Kazadi Kadima. Kazadi's a lovely kid. He's 14. And bumped into him doing the warm-up, and he asked me actually what I was doing at Parkrun. I'm not normally down there, bless him. And said, oh, mate, I'm going to have a bit of a go today. And his eyes lit up and went, oh, would you like me to pace you? And, you know, there's not many, you know, people that would offer to pace me. I thought, this would be lovely. Like, you know, got someone to pace me. Yeah, bearing in mind, Kazadi's 14. But Kazadi's coached by Liz Matthews, mm-hmm. who's, you know, got pretty handy coach. And he's got a 5K PB of 16:15. So for a 14-year-old, he's
Jesus.
Actually got a bit of talent.
Swift.
He's got
Next
a lot of
time.
talent, and he is a very smooth mover. I think, look, there's wanting to be able to give people an example that they can all sort of go, oh, okay, I get what you mean, but not to put pressure on the kid. But when he runs, he's quite tall. He's very tall for his age and a bit lanky, and he just reminds me of Craig Mottram, that he just never looks gassed, very relaxed, very smooth. And at points during parkrun on Saturday, I would say even look bored. While I'm sort of churning my little heart out trying to run 3:30s, Kazadi was running on the grass to give me plenty of room so that
he's 14. Like, if he's bored, is he on TikTok or is he just like cruising around his
no,
way?
He was
Like,
just, he was cruising around, just running on the grass, looking out into the traffic as it was coming towards us, and checking the ducks out on the lake. And
oh, wow,
it was funny. He asked me what pace I wanted to run. Hopefully sort of 3:30 for the first 3K, and then if I've got anything left, try and kick it down over the last two. He goes, oh yeah, that'll be fine. And what I didn't realise was that his watch doesn't actually give pace. So he actually had no idea what pace we were running. He was just kind of running alongside me. And
yeah,
early on, I was just trusting him that we were going along pretty well. But as it turns out, the first 3K were like bang on. I think it was like 3:31, 3:30, 3:28, and he was just there. And as it turns out, he was just keeping me company. And over the last 2K, he kind of led me out. So he sort of had a bit of a 5 meter head start, and I just tucked in behind, and he cleared the path for me. Keep me on. This kid's 14, so he was all over it. And then bless him, I'm pretty sure he took pity on me. But coming into the finish shoot, he just stepped aside and walked the last sort of 10 or 15 metres and let me take home the big W from
chocolate
from parkrun. Got the chockies at parkrun, and he finished and he's like, oh, well done, you did really well. That was a great run. And he hadn't even raised a sweat or looked tired, but he did compliment me and go, oh, geez, that last K, I actually had to work a bit for that one. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Well, you dropped the 3:23. So he's offered to pace you without actually looking at a watch, like having a watch.
No, he just sort of thought he'd come along. Like, he just turned up and didn't really have a goal in mind, because it's funny because we've got our Shep Runners Club handicap, and he thought that it may have been last weekend, but he wasn't sure. So he was there thinking that he was going to race. And then when he didn't have to, he was like, oh, beautiful, I'll just jog along. And it was actually really nice to have someone to run with, but he made me look not even second rate. I was about fifth rate compared to him, just jogging along. So
you got the win though, so that's all that counts.
Yeah, by default.
Nobody remembers who comes second.
No, well, yeah. I'm pretty lucky it's not during parkrun this week. Otherwise, I reckon Kazadi's a chance of breaking 16. He looked very comfy. He's had a pretty good. He's been doing a lot of the AV races for Williamstown, the junior stuff. So he's also represented Victoria at all schools track stuff. So he's just a very, very smooth mover. But it was really cool. So 17:14 I went round in. I think that's I wouldn't say it's hard. Look, parkrun is 5K, but I've always been a bit dubious that at Shep it might be sort of around 50 metres short. But I'm happy with that, especially coming off the back of a half 3 weeks ago. And I'm old, Zaka, so for me, I'm happy.
You can't say that to me, mate, because I'm the oldest one on here.
only just. But, it's funny now. Rather than looking at times, when I got my parkrun email, I was more excited to see what my age graded score was. And I think that's a big telltale sign that I'm getting old, that PBs don't matter. We're just looking for age graded score.
It was a good run, though. Like, you did exactly what you said. Just steady early and then kick it home. And, 3:23 last K, and, progressively got faster. But,
is this a warm up for track season?
Yeah, it is. Nice. Want to get into the track. I think when I say my younger days, when the ambition certainly outweighed the ability and the common sense, this would be the time of year where I'd really go and try and send it in another half or even the marathon at Melbourne. But I just get so banged up from it that it would ruin the chance of having a decent track season. I've really enjoyed track So once the half was all done and dusted post Burnley, sort of wanted to give the body a chance to recover and I guess use this as a bit of a baseline. So
is that also what the bit of hill sprints is for? Bit of top end speed work?
Bit of top end speed, hopefully get a bit stronger as well. There's only so much leg press I can do. So and box jumping. So
well, when you've
maxed out Pilates can only get really... you so strong.
Mate, I can only use four of the springs on the reformer. So there comes a time when you've got to push the body a bit harder. But no, we've probably neglected some of the top end hill work over the last few months. And that's maybe that's been out of necessity and certainly grateful for the consistency. But now that the mornings are a little bit lighter and a little bit warmer, it's a really good opportunity to get down there and do some quality hill work. And I know Andy's all for that too. So
where's the speed work set up for, given you can't get to your track?
So we're very fortunate.
What's the plan?
Yeah. So we're very fortunate that we pretty much live in a gated community where residents residents don't drive their car before 7 a.m. or if they do, it's usually a trade vehicle and they don't use any indicators and they're out there pretty quick. Hence there's no sort of real speed limit. So we've got a nice little 5K loop and a stretch of road that's about, that we can use, that's a bit over a kilometre long. So if we want to do some decent speed reps with standing recovery, we've got full access to that and not really a lot of traffic and no birds either. No magpies, no ducks, no plovers, you name it, we're pretty safe. So
bit of recovery in the moat around the house, mate.
There is three lakes that we do run around or have access to. So, mate, waterfront views to the right, to the left, straight ahead and behind, all around Kyala. So, pretty spoiled.
Should be in the real estate game, Chris, though.
Oh, mate, it's bad enough working the bank. But, mate, you heard me a couple of weeks ago. We reached triple figures, I'm pretty sure, of the run to PB pink tops. That's an unofficial number, but pure speculation on that figure. But after the spruiking that we did, maybe there's a future in it. I don't know.
Yeah, if not, Dan Osterrecht or one of those home shopping channels, man. I think that's got your name written all over it.
If I'm shilling steak knives, things have really slipped. We want to set our sights a little bit higher than steak. But no, all good. But also just want to give a quick shout out to Anna. So Anna came down the park run as well and ran a PB. She ran 19:20. All her splits were between 3:50 and 3:53. Just rarely does faster stuff like that, but just taps into an effort and holds it. And and she took out First Lady as well, just dominated really. So
have you convinced her for track season as well? Or?
No, I think I've probably got more chance of pigs flying than Anna getting on a track to do a competitive race amongst other people. But trying to convince her to do some cross country next year, potentially for Bendigo. It's very much a work in progress, but having significantly...
Right. The line just went there. Was that potentially Melbourne Uni?
So you're cutting out there, Zaka. it would need to be a fairly significant fee, I would have thought.
Yeah, we've got deep pockets.
Yeah. So, that's an interesting statement, that, because they weren't real deep when my contract offer came out, mate.
Well, you actually just... I can't talk about it. We might have signed some heavy hitters next year.
Speaking of uncontracted athletes, though, who don't have a club allegiance, though, Zaka, we do have one with us at the moment. It's the man with a lot of ability whose name will be being chased very heavily. I know Diamond Valley have been throwing absolute just big chock-a-block Hessian sack filled, hundreds, 50s. Everything. Telf is absolutely throbbing at the chance for Liam to come and jump down. But also Collingwood. There's been a few feelers thrown out from the Magpies for Liam's services. So I know it's
going to have to go to auction and see what the highest bidder is.
I know.
IPL auction.
Saturday normally is long run day for you, mate. But is there any interest in joining the AV circuit in 2024?
There's interest, but it just doesn't align. Because I rest on Sundays. If I'm doing shorter AV stuff on the Saturday, I just missed the opportunity to do a long run. And when you start work at 8 a.m. Monday to Friday, you can't fit a long run in before then. So
potentially a longer warm up and cool down.
Potentially. Maybe I'll just chime in for a few. We can be a gun for hire.
Can we get you on like a 3-race contract or something?
Yeah, something like that. But the partner would not be too happy if I started doing cross country on Saturday and then got up early again for a Sunday long run.
Well, most races are fairly local. And then there's trips to wineries as well.
Yeah. We'll chat off air about what's on the table.
Melbourne Uni's kind of close to me, so it's right near work. So
yeah, loaded, cashed up, just trying to offload it. That's exciting, mate. We'd love to see you in the kit.
So yeah, and also a couple of gym sessions, but mate, Zaka, I think no one wants to hear about my gym sessions. Let's talk about your progress.
Yeah, let's not talk about my gym. I want to hear about mine, mate. There's 80-year-olds in the gym doing better stuff than me, so we could skip over that. But I did get in. No, the body is like, it is starting to come through. Like I think I've said every week that I'm starting to feel like I'm a bit more stable and covering ground a bit better. So, and it's come through in a few runs last week because I know there was a run sort of in that 440s to four, couple of slower than others, but there's other days where we run 439s and it feels really good. And that's also a byproduct of, you know, you get a guy like Reese Edwards just pops his head in. He's already run 25K and he gets on the front and you've got no choice but to just hang on. But I actually do enjoy, I'm enjoying those easy runs. Like, I think I've got past that stage where I was sort of every run I was sort of almost getting to points in the run where I'm like, yeah, I'm actually having to work here because I just don't have any power on my legs. Whereas the conditioning's coming along, and I think that's just getting sessions again in, that makes a big difference. I think I got out to just on my Strava, I think I actually hit 69 Ks last week. So I'll take that with a rest day in there. And Saturday session was, I had Kiwi Steve, we went out to Princess Park and we did a lap steady, like not hard. It was, I think we were going to run like 350s or something. It might have been around that pace. And then just like a 2.5 minute jog into 3-2-1. So I just want to try and like get a bit of turnover. So when I say turnover, like the twos and the ones, really, there's not much of a difference in the pace, but just to free things up. And like, I don't have the back end strength in those reps. Like it's just time on feet. Like I've just got to keep putting not just 160, 70K a week. I've got to put 4, 8, 12 weeks of 80 to 90 to 100 Ks. And I've been conservative on this approach. So I've just got to respect where I'm at. And I think this October is really going to be for me is a chance to get some more Ks in the leg. You know, I got 70 minutes on Sunday out, went out to Albert Park and caught up in all the festivities, ran around with a couple of Run to BB coaches with Madeline Heiner and Isaac Hockey. And there was a few other Melbourne Uni athletes. So we just jogged around and clocked up 70 minutes. Always pretty easy to run around when there's a race going on. You just sort of get spurred on with the atmosphere. So a solid week, and it's pretty boring stuff at the moment for me. It's just staying in one piece, being diligent with all the prehab, and it's not rocket science really. It's just being consistent and not getting greedy, and also trying to get up the K's through this next month without doing anything, silly. But I'd like to toe the line at the wellness run and try and get that finisher's 10K medal that eluded me last time. So it's the joke that just keeps on giving in the training group. So I really want to get it and then wear it around the lap of the 10 on Monday just to rub in a few guys' faces that seem to bring up whenever the sun comes out if I've had enough water today. So Hopefully I can tick that box.
The next step in the progression for you, Zaka, do you think that's more likely to be more Ks and more time on the feet, or adding like a regular second sort of faster run into the week? What way do you think you'll go? A
little bit of both at the same time, a three-quartery progression run on a Thursday, and then at the same time slow mileage, and then by the end of that month hopefully it's two sessions and I'm out to 80, 90 minutes in an ideal world. But it's going to be along that timeline. It might more realistically be like a 8 week timeline to get to that.
Based on like how you pull up week after week, or instructions, or are you just vibing it out on
how you I'm feel? Working with Al. I'm sort of vibing a bit off Al as to how I'm responding. And day to day, I can kind of get a good feel for it, like just how I'm moving, and even just walking around and less hobbling is usually a good thing. So that'll be probably the indicator. And I think probably just pushing a little bit outside the comfort zone, because you can always sort of sit in this like, and at some point you need to make a little bit of a jump without making a too bigger. Yeah, it's risk management, I guess. And I'm enjoying running that. I'm in that sort of phase where it's like, I don't want to take too much of a risk. And just because I've had a couple of restarts and I don't want to go back to zero, I'd rather sit in at 70, 80K and be on the park and be training and still, be enjoying it, as opposed to just risking it all to go to 100 and then be back a long way. So I'm not rushing it, but
we be throwing in some down weeks every now and then as you build up, instead of having a ski ramp of a Strava graph.
Exactly. Yeah, so definitely a couple of deload right week, and then and I think I've got the balance right at the moment. Like, it seems to be the gym, and like, I've only really been in the gym for maybe 6 weeks now, so.
And it shows.
It's might have to get a Instagram sort of grid picture going, just one of those transformation photos, get a photo in front of a Herald Sun paper 6 weeks ago, and then another one just to show the progress, which is very little. But it's all, as they say, all heading in the right direction. So just all you do is just keep knocking them out and go from there.
It sounds like it is progressing well, though. And the fact that you've stuck at the gym work, and I know it's probably the absolute least favorite part of your week, maybe even work included, I don't know. But the fact that you're sticking at it, I can't wait to say we get another 6 weeks' time and we're in the middle of November and we're only a couple of weeks away from wellness, just to see the progress that you've made through the body and how the Ks are still ticking along. I reckon that's exciting, because there's a lot of people still that are very reluctant to do strength work because they hate it or they can't be bothered. And please don't take this as me trying to frame what I'm hoping you're going to say in another 6 weeks' time. But, I'm really hopeful that it's going to be like, wow, this has been brilliant. And even though it's only little increments, that just that it's really sort of helped progress things along. I really hope you get to see the benefits out of it, because you deserve it. You're working bloody hard.
And it's definitely one of those things that are like not necessarily immediate benefits as well. Like, I train legs twice a week, Monday morning, Wednesday morning, and then get out for a jog, because one, that's the only time that I can physically fit it in with work. But it's not even so much about the strength benefits as well, but more like, I do that twice a week. I probably go gym three or four times in total. Do foam rolling, do the activation, do the strength work at home. And touch wood, I haven't had an injury since August of last year. So I've hit every single session, every single run that I was meant to run since then. So it's not so much just about the perceived benefits that you get from the strength training, but it's also the risk an associated risk of injury that you're decreasing, the what if. You don't want to cut out the strength training and then a month later your calf blows up, your hamstring blows up, you get a quad issue or a glute issue or a lower back issue or anything like that and think, oh, was it the strength?
No, look, yeah, and it's you're spot on. Like, just having that in there, and when I haven't done it in the past, it's it's been. Oh, I'm actually enjoying it, Chris. So it's been a good change of atmosphere and a good something different to focus on. So, yeah, I'm gonna go catch up with Dane in about a week or two, and just because I want to progress it a little bit more. I'm probably going through this sort of same routine, and I think he can push me a little bit to go, hey, you can actually try and implement these just to like anything, you know, when you start running, if you're just doing easy runs and you're just trying to plateau a little bit, I think it's also important to get that in your gym routine as well.
I think as an added double bonus as well, and the timing's really good with Melbourne having, coming up in the next couple of weeks, but Ernie Old have just released a new Melbourne singlet, which they would be due to do a bit more advertising. Any chance of doing a summer campaign with Ernie Old this year, mate?
I reckon they've seen my form of late and I've gone off the database.
So, it's funny. So Nora was on the Ernie Old page a couple of days ago and she's having a look around and having a bit of a scroll. And she's gone, that looks like Saka. That's Saka. I'm like, yeah, that's Saka. Like, she's like, wow, he's on Ernie. I'm like, yeah. So, like Nora's of the opinion now that you're pretty much a full on celebrity, Saka, because you're
a lot of Photoshop going on in those photos, I think, mate. I reckon it's a good time to move on to around the grounds, because I did touch on the run three, which our man Liam was at, and there was a number of run to PB athletes that towed the line, but there was so we had what are we looking at, about 6 or 8 athletes all on the social media page, but at the same, so Sunday was busy, and then Sunday night we had the Berlin Marathon results come through, which was super exciting because we had 4 athletes going around and 3 big PBs at over in Berlin. One of Josh's athletes, actually Jasmine Singh, rolled out as PB, 3:47.25. And Jasmine spoke to Josh about this. Jasmine had signed up to a couple of overseas races pre-COVID and then had all the issues, obviously, around that, missing getting flight credits and all the rest of it, and races postponed, and got a chance to go over and tick the major box and did it in style with a PB.
That's impressive. Like, we've had some pretty good success this year. Boston, that was a big success. Berlin, just the marathon majors turn up, run a PB. And even the weather at Boston wasn't even that good. So beautiful run there by Jasmine, but we also had a couple probably a bit closer to the pointy end of the field, still might not have been within touching distance of Kipchoge, but mate, to finish even within 40 minutes of Kipchoge is a massive effort. So we had Greg Goodall and Greg Sam Goodall. Sutherland, who both went sub 240, both big PBs. What can you tell us about that, Saka?
Yeah, it was a bit of a coach off between Andy and Brady. So Greg Goodall is coached by Andy Buchanan, and Greg went 2:38.06 for a massive PB. And mate, I spoke to Andy about this, and he sent through his splits, and they are just, mate, put them in a frame. They are just beautiful. So consistent. In Andy's words, he said, probably the best pace marathon I've ever seen. So he's went 2:38.08, averaged 3:43, and he's gone, his 5K splits were 18:40, 18:44, 18:48, 18:45, 18:46, 18:41, 18:46, 18:50. Last 2K was 8:04, and that's 3:41. So
that's metronomic.
Seriously, that's metronomic.
That's good. high praise because Andy doesn't throw compliments around lightly,
no.
Let alone praise like that as probably the best pace marathon of the
day. That's first-hand experience, Chris speaking then.
A bit triggering for you, mate.
No. Oh, I'm going to have to leave now. No. No, but, you know, to praise like that, because I mean, that one of the strong points of Andy's own running is his ability to strap himself into an effort and endure. And for him to say that is incredible because, I mean, and literally, I mean, he has split every single 5K at Berlin between 1840 and 1850. That's that's amazing. Like, it literally is.
Yeah.
Even if you were riding a bike, that's still really impressive. Yeah. Wow. Hey, look, Kipchoge's bottle man was on a bike. So, you know, it does happen. But right. If you were splitting him that even on a bike, that's incredible. So absolutely full credit to being able to maintain that all the way through.
So Greg's actually based in Cape Town, South Africa. He's 43 years old and his goal was, so he was 2:41:25 going into that race. He did that in Berlin in 2019. So he sliced a couple of minutes off and yeah, he's got an ultra background. So he's done the ultra trail Cape Town, 100K. He's done a 3x Two Oceans Marathon, which is 56er down in South Africa. So, mate, huge, huge running from there and Greg. So he signed up like 12 weeks out and he said, I want 2:40. And Andy said, look, we'll give it a go. I can't guarantee anything. He actually said he thought it might have been a lofty goal given the time frame, but pulled it off in an amazing style with that metronomic splits. So, yeah, big one from Greg. And another one, Sam Sutherland, who's coached by Brady. He's based in London, made the trip over to Berlin and, yeah, managed to get a 30-second PB. Rolled a 2:37:18. So I reckon they must have crossed paths at some point because I know Sam, he did experience a little bit of back end trouble, struggled with some of the gels. He said 35 to 40K was hell, which is not uncommon in a marathon, but yeah.
Probably should have stopped at 42. Maybe that was his problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, 35 to 40, 40K was hell, trying to will myself not to walk from 38 and running what felt like a jog, 40 to 41. I was really lightheaded, but managed to get, held it together at Brandenburg Gates and got through with a 30-second PB. So, big shout out there to Sam, who, got the job done in pretty – sounds like dramatic style in the end.
That's being in the pain cave. I mean, look, you're always if you're always going to be in a bit of pain for the marathon. Fair comment, Liam.
Fair comment.
But to experience it like that, that's uncomfortable. Like there's uncomfortable, and then there's that, and that's
my greatest fear is stomach upsets in a marathon.
Yeah,
that would. Yeah. I wouldn't wish that upon anyone.
That's just, I've been fortunate enough to avoid stomach upsets. I've hit the wall a couple of times and that's been really unpleasant. But, just the bubbly tummy, though, that's the stuff nightmares are made of. Have you ever gone through that before, Zaka?
Yeah, multiple times. Yeah. And, it's not fun. Yeah. Even the Chicago Marathon, I remember just 10K in going, I'm looking for a master in the eye. I need to get a long day. Course, and it's 10K in. And it passed, but sometimes you're just going through this hell early on and you're trying to think of, and it's no rhyme and reason. You know, you've done a lot of workouts where you've actually taken stuff on, you've had the same, but, you know, towing the line and the nerves and the just everything can take over. And yeah, just, we're searching for everything to go like 100% in the marathon. And yeah, my sessions, your sessions don't go 100%, but like it's just magnified when you're in the marathon, and you put so much pressure on that. I want to feel good, and I just want it to be my day. And when it's starting to go pear shaped, and yeah, it's not fun. So yeah, massive shout out to Sam to pull that one off. Hey, and last one in Berlin was one of Matt's athletes. So Edo, sorry, I just missed his. Edo Sutanto, who went 4:01:45. He missed his PB by about 30 seconds, I reckon, Matt said. But Edo was at Berlin last year, if you recall this, Chris. He's got a bit of a hack. He stays in the hotel that all the elites stay in. Last year, he was just cruising around the buffet with Kipchoge. So he had a few selfies with Kippers. And this year, there's another picture with one of the female athletes. It looks like the lady who came third, I believe, who ran a 2:18, just dropped a lazy 2:18 marathon. He's just in the buffet with getting another selfie. So, yeah, pretty cool stuff from Edo. So, very good weekend in Berlin.
Edo, I'm pretty sure last year we gave Edo our hero of the week purely for the fact that he did get a photo with Kipchoge.
Definitely got the hero of the week. It was very, very cool.
Although, mate, I was going to say, fancy running 2:18 in a marathon, as a female, and finishing third.
Hey, mate, sounds like a good segue into a bit of world record chat.
Well, let's do it, shall we? Zaka, Sunday night, did you sort of fire up the stream thinking or expecting to see someone sort of knock around in 2:11? I'm sure that you would have been expecting to see quite a few runners knock around in 2:11. Probably none of them female, though. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. I hadn't done the form guide. I didn't know that a world record was going to be annihilated by somewhat 2 minutes and 12 seconds, by the looks of it. Just crazy. Like, we're talking rare air here. Like, it went from, she won it by, 6 minutes? I'm the first woman in history to run under 2:14, 2:13, then 2:12. So just like absolutely annihilated it. Just so good. And shattered Kozgai's record. And we're talking about Tigist Assefa, or you were Tiggy. Referring to as Tiggy.
Yeah, Tiggy.
Wouldn't want to play Tiggy with her.
Mate, just not in those shoes that she wore.
Yeah, you reckon it's all about shoes, Christo?
No, I'm just saying what I found really interesting was so apparently these shoes are just designed for single use.
Yeah, the one and done shoes.
One and done. What would you pay for a pair of shoes that would guarantee, well, not guarantee you, but pretty, when you put them on, you're going to run a fast time. Is there a price limit?
I'd pay $1,000 if I could even run 2:30.
I can see where you're coming from. When I didn't actually realize these shoes were going to retail for $800 for a single single use.
They only released 500 of them though, Chris.
They're
a lottery to get them, which
very good marketing.
And my marketing hat. I'm quite excited about the way they pulled this off.
Do you think they're essentially printing money though? Because they could charge whatever they wanted, really. I mean, if they put $2,000 on these, people would just go, yeah, but it's only a limited release and I might not ever get to buy them again. So $2,000's okay.
Oh, I suspect someone's going to be at Parkrun out a sub 20 this weekend in the new shoes, just pay for themselves.
You just knock out a threshy. Just like, we talk about sometimes one of the questions that we've asked some people, do you take your session shoes out for a hit out before race day? No, not in these. You don't even open the box. You put these.
Well, I dropped
These go in a glass case and you do not open it until literally 10 minutes before you get out. You're probably not even doing strides in them prior to the race.
When we do workouts at the tan, so we all jog down with our flats in our hand and we just put them on the corner of Anderson Street. We don't even hide them. Well, sometimes we hide them behind bushes, but, and if you're going there on a Tuesday night in the summer, it could be 80 pairs of carbon shoes just lying around. And would you chuck the $800 shoes just behind a bush, or do you just, you carry them for the warm up? And
I think probably more to the pertinent question would be, would you take one security guard or two? Because I am not letting anyone even touch those shoes. I mean, yeah, I was insane. When I didn't actually realize at the time, but yeah, one of my athletes sent me the article the next day. So I know, like, legitimately, these are going to retail for $800. I was blown away. Not that it's all about the shoes, but the fact that, I mean, technology is amazing. The fact that it's taken another step forward is, it just blows me away. You know, this lady, Tiggy Ramp, was fresh off, was it a 2:15, her previous PB?
Last year she won in 2:15. So
and like 2:34 or something before that. And so her half last year was, I think, 67.
Yeah. So you pay $800 Aussie for 4 minute PB, like $200 a minute. Yeah, I'd probably pay that. I mean, I don't have to do the training, or do I just put shoes on and get the 4 minutes off?
Wow. Yeah. Well, some interesting stats. So apparently her splits over the, I mean, obviously they were sensational. Of course they're going to be when you...
us three couldn't do a relay 5K in the time that she was doing her 5K splits.
No.
No.
We'll get you on the commuter bike.
Mate, she was running, you know, going progressively got faster. So 5K splits opened with a 15:59.
The slowest 5K. Yeah.
Which was the slowest. And then went 15:46, 15:41, 15:26, 48, 32, 29, and 15:32 to 40K. And then the last 2.195K ended up in 15:11. You're something, what's that sort of equate to? I mean, my maths aren't that good on a Wednesday night, but apparently it was only 4 seconds slower than what Kipchoge split over the last 2.1.
Jeez.
And it's not insane. He wasn't jogging. Anyone that saw him, he was still working quite hard to get into the finish. So this is... You talk about being on another level.
Give him a bit of kudos.
I think it is just up there, just morning run. Still yeah, just on.
Morning commute.
Morning catch up with the mates. But still morning run on the Strava. Plenty of kudos, I'm sure, no doubt. But apparently these shoes, the Pro Evo 1 is 138 grams, which is around 40% lighter than any of Adidas's other super shoes. I'm not an Adidas person, but tell you what, numbers like that, you'd be tempted if there was a way just to be able, sometimes you might see a come and try night at the running company. Do you reckon that there's a chance the Pro Evo 1 might float down to the running company in Geelong or Yarraville and say, hey guys, just come along. Yeah.
You know, mate, it wouldn't be many coming back to the van, I tell you.
How good would that be, though? Like, oh, just go, we'll go and do a set of Kenyan fartlek, a few 2 minutes on, 1 minute off, 21 minutes, let's see how we go, and give them a spin.
No, it's, we've had some serious world records on here, and we've spoken about some big ones. But this is up there. This is up there. It's not quite Uncle Chen level, but it's up there.
Need to get him in a pair and see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, he'd go well under 330, I reckon. Well under 330 if he had a pair of these on. But
he probably doesn't want to run faster than he's punching less darts. So probably won't accept him.
Who knows? I mean, with the extra effort intake, the lungs might be heaving a bit more, which might actually be performance enhancing.
True.
In terms of that. But Liam, did you get a chance to actually watch Berlin live on Sunday night, or was it more of a, like, given your race,
Didn't get a chance to watch it. I was just keeping up to date with everyone else posting it on their socials.
What was your first reaction and thoughts when you saw sort of Tiggy, or found out that Tiggy had run 2:11:50?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought it was ridiculous. You see the time and you're like, that is insane. Like, that is almost humanly impossible. That is ridiculous. Like, it's so impressive, I think, to break the world record by that much comparatively over, what was the other one? 2019 Chicago. Kozgar got it, I think it was. It's insane. Hopefully she keeps it up and goes sub 2:10. That would be incredible.
What if she just, because I know she's got a background in the 800, broken 2 minutes. 159. Wouldn't it be just a real head fuck for people if she just went back to the 800?
Just right. No one's probably going to come close to a marathon, so she might as well stop now. Stop while she's ahead.
Or just move to the long jump with
Zachy, you would have been part of a few chat groups on Sunday night, being a man of the people. What was the vibe like in the chat groups?
A lot of disbelief, I think. A lot of just like, what is going on here? Look, honestly, there is, when something like this goes down, like, it, unfortunately, the nature of our sport and what we've heard is that a lot of people will jump to the conclusions, and whether that's right or not, it's just the way we kind of think when, you know, and she's obviously ran a credible, like, it, yeah, she's come out of the blue, you know, in a way, but she did win the marathon last year. So, like, it's just she hasn't raced a lot. So that's where the red flags kind of come up. It's like, hang on, do you? But then Kipchoge doesn't race every second week. So we don't sort of see some of these athletes, and then they come out and drop these big times. So you have to accept that, otherwise you have to accept, you know, the result. But yeah, there was a little bit of that going on. But I think it's just in awe of, like, what guy, like, I think it was like equivalent with all those IAAF things. It was like a 13:42 5K, 7:59.3. Yeah, in terms of rankings, I think it's still not up there with Usain Bolt's, but it's very close to it, I think, in terms of, like, the table. But it's like top two or three performances ever across all track and field. I don't know how they work that supercomputer in to sort of, you know, equate a 100-meter versus a marathon. But yeah, so impressive. Yeah, look, Radcliffe, what did she run? 2:15, and that was a while ago. So it is 4 minutes quicker, but there's been a lot of changes in sport. You know, we talk about shoe, and also got to look at the advances just in science in alone. You know, your gels, the way we recover. Their coaching's change, you know, not all just running the same way anymore. There's a lot of research and a lot of different ways people train. So there has been a lot of advancement in the sport as well.
I was reading some data today that normally the endurance records, so between male and female, sort of sit around within 9 or 10% of each other. And this has sort of lowered it down to around that sort of 7 to 8% bracket. Do we now genuinely believe that, is there the potential, you know, maybe for someone like a Kelvin Kipton to legitimately go sub two in one of these marathons on race day?
He's Adidas, isn't he?
I think so.
I reckon he probably want to be now. I reckon even Kipchoge, he'd be thinking, maybe I might need to... What kind of price would they command for me now? So yeah, that is it's a good point, Chris. So I think that sub two is going to happen in a race, and mate, it's just crazy to think the times, marathoning that we look at. But yeah, interesting times. Chris, so a little bit of housekeeping before we let Liam get some rest. He's in a marathon block, so this is probably well and truly past his bedtime.
I've got a 4:30 a.m. wake up, but that's
all right. A new coach was announced. It was an email that went out maybe a week or so. There'll be a bit of a social media post that will be out probably next week, but we're sort of soft launching it. It's Elise Beacom. So her profile's on the website, sub-3-hour marathoner. She has done some amazing things in the sport. She's been overseas, done some... The profile, like, we're obviously going to get Elise on, like, trying to lock her down, whether it's next week or the following week, to go through some of these amazing, I guess, just running anecdotes to her career, including, you know, running... Yeah, whilst working in Afghanistan, running around in on a treadmill in a basement, and then 170-meter loops of a garden, running around Sierra Leone in, you know, running solo. She did some work for the United Nations, I believe. Done some obscure race, like, talk about trainings. And so she's done a race in North Korea. So,
most of us can't get access to the place, let alone race in it.
Got a race entry, all right, and got on the podium, came back out as well, which is
She was jetting around run pre on Sunday as well.
She did, She had a good run. She had a PV
37 low or something, I think.
You've done your research,
I have come prepared,
yeah.
And would put any kit Chris has to shame.
Yes.
Well. Yeah. What was she? Give us a preview, mate.
Hey.
Give us a preview. What did
it? Oh, I don't know about this weekend, but I met her up at the Gold Coast. She was
gone full. Was it sort of unicorn setup?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, fairy floss, unicorn, sparkles, hundreds of thousands, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very bright. Very bright. And yeah, studying to be a sports psychologist. So really just heavily ingrained in the sport, runs for Geelong region. So yeah, we're going to obviously, like I said, chat to her further about her running journey and also her coaching, because loves coaching. Got a few athletes already that she's looking after. So yeah, it's going to be cool to learn more about Elise. Chriso, singlet update.
Yes. What have we got, Zacho? What's happening? Where are we up to?
So, like I mentioned, top of the show, they're in production, all tracking towards delivery. But I had a bit of a sighting in the wild on Friday. I was meeting Josh Papa, who good friend of the show, I mentioned a couple of times. I was at Albert Park. We're doing a cheeky little 50-minute Friday run. And I was running early, so I was just parked the car. I was waiting for him. So I was sitting in the car, having a bit of a scroll, chatting to... chatting to Matt and Brady at the time, just in a chat group and talking all things, some run to BB stuff. And then I look up and I just see at Albert Park a guy run by in a run to BB singlet, in the teal singlet. And I couldn't get out of car to sort of flag him down. He's just flying along. So I was like, what the hell? I captured a photo and just sent it on to the guy. I said, what's going on here? Like, is this sort of a simulation? Because we were talking about the singlets and the guys just come by in a singlet and no idea who it was. I'll be honest. I tried to have a look on Strava, but couldn't sort of track him down. But there was someone running around in a run to BB singlet on Friday. So if you're listening, give us a shout out, because I'd love to know who it was. And another sighting in the wild was Travis Moore, who I know you've met before, Chriso. He's a regular, runs for Richmond. He is a bit of a king around Princess Park at times. And he was finishing his session. Actually, afterwards, had a go at me because it was pretty sunny on Saturday and I was warming up in a long sleeve. I think his first thing was, mate, what are you doing in a long sleeve?
Yeah, that's disgusting.
But yeah, he was moving really well. And after I sort of sent him a message, he said, oh man, I was in all sorts. I'm like, fine. I thought you were going well. So yeah, I did say to Travis, mate, I've got my spies, so I'm always looking out for him. So yeah, and there was another listener bit of feedback from the last episode, Chriso, from our man Paul Cleary.
Yeah, so apparently he was very excited to get a mention. I'm amazed that he took the time to even listen to us babble on about our rubbish, but I absolutely loved it. And Zachary, I'm hearing a whisper from some sources that he's actually keen to come on and have a chat.
Yes, we will chat to his management team and hopefully get a better rate than we have for Liam. But he is an Olympian, so he's a bit harder to muster up. But yes, we're in talks to get him on for a bit of a chat. So that will be exciting.
Well, hopefully we can sell a few more singlets and that will go towards our fund in bringing some of the more high-profile Run to PB athletes on for a chat and sort of, you know, we're really just here to give the people what they want.
Hey, before we wind it up, mate, I just had a couple of listener questions come through when the post went out around Liam being on the show.
What does James Telford want to know?
It was someone else that apparently can't really be named, but did ask, okay, is it true that he does bicep curls before all the races to get a pump on for the photos? And also, can you ask him why he always gets his rig out when doing sessions at the track despite it being 3 degrees? Which is
these
a bit
allegations,
rich.
Which I don't support, but
gotta say it. I'm gonna out him because it's a bit rich coming from Connor Dillon, who gets the rig out when it's 2 degrees
and has bigger pipes than me, I reckon, but what have I got to say about that? My bicep routine, Chris gave me his workout for biceps. So
how's it working?
I've been getting plenty of compliments, as you can just hear from Connor. So working really well, thank you. Probably weighing me down, probably an extra 2-3 kilos heavier than I was before I started your bicep routine. So there's negatives and positives to it. But
we sort of train heavy and race light. So we'll be able to shed that for race day, no doubt.
That's the plan, just in time for Melbourne.
Yeah. And one final question came in from not to be named underscore Tess. What's your favorite brand of wax strips for your chest?
That's another dig at me because I just don't have the physical ability to grow chest hairs, actually, which I'm not actually mad about. But not just for some reason between the neck and the waist, nothing, absolutely nothing. I've got like mid-level alopecia just in the middle, but I'm not mad about it.
Also, rather, and I think this is a bit of a mean-spirited allegation, mate. I don't like this one. I don't like where this is coming from, but story there that headed out Saturday night with the intention of watching the full game of footy at the pub on Saturday and maybe only watched half of it and went home.
Me?
Mm.
semi-truth to that, I guess. We had a 30th on that started at, 4:30 or something. So I rocked up at 5. I'm a Carlton supporter, obviously, as you've mentioned. probably quarter time, saw the score and was watching in and out and then thought, they're just going to come back. They are going to come back, so I don't want to witness whatever's going to happen next. So I kind of, I hang around for most of the game. But then with, I guess it was about almost 8 p.m., I had to get up at 4 o'clock for the run pre. Hadn't had dinner yet, so I thought now's a good time as any to duck out. So probably only left with 10 minutes to go once it was all kind of said and done.
Yeah, mate, I would have left at half time. That's something I would do.
couldn't even drown my sorrows, so I just had to go home sober and sad.
No, well done, mate. I think you've handled a few of the we call them fans, or I don't know, by some of these questions they're a bit rough. So
I am looking forward to possibly some of the descriptions in Strava, but probably some of the track sessions over the next couple of weeks leading into the marathon, and that there might be some retort offered by Liam.
I'll be sure to throw back some banter, so that's all right.
Good good stuff, mate.
No, plenty of material for him, so don't you worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just above that. That kind of pettiness is beneath me. No, so I'm not gonna
let your feet do the talking in Melbourne, mate.
Yeah, I'll try.
Life in the Serengeti is good.
Mate, it's been awesome having you on. We really appreciate you jumping on, talking about your training, giving us an update. Always very fun to chat to. And I know a lot of listeners have enjoyed following along. And no doubt off the back of Melbourne, we'll get you back on for a bit of recap.
No dramas at all. Thanks for both having me. Always good to chat to you boys. And one this final week of big boy training, and then hopefully a bit of a taper into Melbourne, and we'll put it all out on the tarmac there.
Looking forward to it, mate. I am going to be out there. I'm looking forward to seeing you roll around and catch up afterwards. So thanks again, and we'll be in touch.
Lovely.
All right, see you, Chriso.
Thanks, mate. And I'm looking forward to seeing Liam go sub 240. I think pencil it in now.
I'm not sure of his long jump, to be honest. I've sort of moved on for the marathon. All right, boys. Take it easy.
See ya.
Cheers.
See ya.